When you drive over a massive suspension bridge, there's this comforting sense of trust in the physical engineering, you know?
Right, you can visibly inspect the thick steel cables holding you up.
Exactly. You can see the massive concrete pillars anchored deep into the bedrock. You inherently trust the math because you can see it working in the real world. A failure would be completely obvious.
But when you step into the world of digital security, we're all essentially driving over completely invisible bridges.
Yeah, and you have absolutely no idea if the cables are frayed until you're suddenly, well, in free fall. Welcome to our deep dive into our stack of sources. I'm your host, and today we're exploring those fragile, invisible threads holding our modern web together.
And we are looking at some seriously frayed cables today.
Oh, absolutely. Our mission for this deep dive is to look at three distinct sources where those threads snapped. First, a report detailing a massive $70 million Bitcoin heist linked to a tiny flaw in a hardware wallet.
A physical device designed specifically to be unhackable.
Right. Then, an analysis of a poisoned advertising script that quietly rewrites cryptocurrency addresses straight across the web. And finally, an urgent security advisory from Adobe regarding a maximum severity flaw in their enterprise marketing software.
The central theme here really is that security is only ever as strong as its absolute weakest link.
For sure.
And today we're looking at what happens when those links break at the hardware level, the browser level, and the massive enterprise level.
So let's jump straight into that $70 million heist, because the numbers in the first source are just staggering.
They really are.
On July 30th, an attacker completely drained 11,196 Bitcoin addresses in just 41 minutes.
Wow, 41 minutes.
Yeah. The total haul was 1,082.65 Bitcoin, which was worth about $70.2 million at the time. And Galaxy Research mapped this massive sweep directly to a firmware flaw in the ColdCard wallet.
And for you listening, ColdCard is made by CoinKite, and it's a highly respected Bitcoin-only hardware wallet.
Right, people buy these specifically for offline security. But this wasn't some crazy physical heist. The source says it was an integration error, tracing all the way back to a March 2021 firmware update.
Yeah, an integration error. And the core of it really revolves around something called a macro.
Explain that, because looking at the technical breakdown, it seems almost painfully simple.
It is. So to understand the failure, you have to look at how these devices generate the keys to your vault. The heart of cryptographic security is random number generation.
Okay.
Now, ColdCard is designed to use a highly secure, dedicated piece of hardware, specifically the STM32 hardware random number generator.
To create the seed phrase, right?
Exactly. But in the production code, there was this macro, which you can think of as a configuration label, named micro P winnabling.
Oh, the source says that was set to zero.
Yes, because CoinKite uses its own custom hardware wrapper. This label was set to zero, basically telling the system false or off for that default path.
But the library handling it, LidGoo, didn't actually check if it's set to true or false.
Right. Exactly. It only checked if the macro label existed in the code.
I mean, it's like inspecting a safety checklist on a manufacturing floor, seeing a box labeled disable primary safety lock, and doing it just because the box is printed on the page.
Right. Completely ignoring that someone wrote a giant no right next to it.
That's wild. So what happened because of that?
Well, because the library misinterpreted its intent, it completely bypassed the secure hardware generator. Instead, the wallet fell back to a software-based pseudo-random number generator.
Which is bad.
Very bad. It's called MicroPython's Yasmerang. And a software fallback is dangerous because it collects no fresh entropy.
Entropy being the cryptographic randomness.
Right. Usually gathered from unpredictable stuff like thermal fluctuations in the silicon. Instead, the software initialized using only the chip's unique ID and its internal timer registers.
And a unique ID and a timer aren't exactly unpredictable.
Not at all.
So it's like you're buying a state-of-the-art titanium bank vault, but because of a typo on the manufacturing floor, the lock uses a child's toy combination dial.
That's a perfect way to put it. The math just falls apart.
The source put some hard numbers on this, which blew my mind. It says a standard 12-word seed phrase needs 128 bits of cryptographic security.
Right, to be considered truly uncrackable.
But due to the flaw, CoinKite estimates the MK3 model had roughly 40 bits of entropy, and the MK4, MK5, and Q models had about 72 bits.
To put that in perspective for you, every time you add a bit of entropy, you double the difficulty of guessing the key.
Okay, so 128 bits is massive.
It's roughly 340 undecillion possible combinations. the sun would burn out before every computer on Earth could guess that.
But 40 bits.
That is only about a trillion combinations. A modern desktop computer with a decent graphics card can chew through a trillion combinations in a matter of hours.
Oh my God. And a security researcher named Block noted that attackers could reproduce these candidate output streams completely offline.
Yep. They don't even need to touch your physical device. They simulate the tiny amount of randomness, generate possible seeds offline, and just check the public blockchain for balances.
And then they just sweep the funds. So CoinKite shipped a patch on July 31st.
They did, yeah.
But wait, so if I bought one of these devices for maximum offline security, am I just completely out of luck? Like, does simply installing the patch fix it?
Ah, no, that's the catch. Updating ensures the next key you make is secure, but it does absolutely nothing for the seed you're already using.
Because it's already compromised.
Exactly. CoinKite explicitly warned users that they must generate a completely new seed on the patched firmware and physically transfer their funds.
So are there any exceptions in the source? Like if someone had an old seed, are they definitely hacked?
There are a couple of critical exceptions. Users who created their seed with at least 50 independent Wythit dice rolls are safe.
Okay, let me unpack why that works. If you roll a standard casino die 50 times, you are manually generating the mathematical randomness yourself, right?
You're providing the entropy that the broken software failed to collect.
Hitting that 128-bit threshold through pure real-world chaos.
Exactly. You manually injected unpredictable math back into the system. The source also notes users using a strong, unique BIP39 passphrase are safe.
Right, because that acts as an extra hidden layer that the base seed words can't access on their own.
Right. And CoinKite's other devices, like the TapSigner, OpenDime, and Sats card, operate on different code bases and were totally unaffected.
Okay, so if cracking a hardware wallet is like picking the lock on a vault, our next source shows us an attacker who realized it's much easier to just trick you into mailing them the money directly.
We're moving from a hardware vulnerability to a browser-level supply chain compromise.
Yeah, the AdForm incident. This is a terrifying study in silent misdirection. The attackers compromised a specific JavaScript file served from the ad tech company AdForm.
Specifically, it was a file called trackpointasync.js on s2.adform.net.
Right. And AdForm's own documentation notes this tracking code can run across an entire website. So they essentially got a master key to downstream sites without breaching them individually.
Exactly. By compromising this one shared resource, they poisoned the water supply.
So how does this script actually work? The researcher Max Mass analyzed the captured script from July 27th, 2026.
Yeah, so the malicious code basically contains two blocks appended to the legitimate library, but they obfuscated it with a 6-byte XOR key.
Wait, XOR? Like the logic gate?
Yep, exclusive OR. In this context, it acts like a digital decoder ring. It scrambles the malicious commands into gibberish.
Oh, so automated security scanners just pass right over it.
Exactly. They assume it's just complex advertising data, but once it's running in your browser, it unscrambles itself.
That is so sneaky, and the behavior of it is wild. It checks the user's clipboard every 4 seconds for Bitcoin, Ethereum, or Tron addresses.
And if it finds one, it replaces it with the attacker's address.
It also makes an HTTP request to 84.32.102.230.7744, sending the host name and the exact path of the victim's current page.
So they're building a real-time surveillance map of where their victims are.
But reading the source, I had this massive aha moment that just turned to dread. It's not just copy and pasting. The source says it rewrites values directly in input fields and text areas.
Right. It's actively manipulating the web page's structural blueprint.
It even hooks the value setter on those elements. So even programmatic writes, like if the site autofills your address, are rewritten in transit.
And it actively restores your cursor position after the rewrite to hide the tampering.
That's just interface gaslighting. It's so creepy. Researcher Kevin Beaumont noted that even if a user notices the wrong address and copies their own again, the script just replaces it again.
You're literally fighting a ghost in your own browser.
So what's the remediation here? Did AdForm fix it?
Well, AdForm told clients to clear their browser caches. Because even though they fixed it on their server, the malicious code might still be living locally on users' machines.
Right, because browsers save those JavaScript files locally to load sites faster next time.
Exactly. You could visit a clean site days later, and your own browser would inject the malware.
And there's a fuzzy timeline here too, isn't there?
Yeah, AdForm flagged July 27th as the date of compromise. But Beaumont noted seeing malicious activity via AdForm over the past week leading up to that.
So the exposure window might be much wider.
Definitely.
All right, so we've seen attackers crack a device, and we've seen them hijack your browser while you type. But what if they don't need you to do anything at all?
We are entering the realm of zero-click enterprise vulnerabilities.
Yeah, our final source is an urgent security advisory from Adobe regarding a maximum severity flaw in their enterprise marketing software.
This is Adobe Campaign Classic, or ACC.
Now, for you listening, ACC is this massive enterprise platform used by Fortune 500 companies to manage customer databases and track user behavior. And this vulnerability, CVE-2026-48449, has a CVSS severity score of 10.0.
That is the absolute maximum score.
Could you unpack what a 10.0 actually means in this context?
A flat 10.0 means it's an incorrect authorization flaw that allows arbitrary code execution in the context of the current user, completely without requiring any user interaction.
Wow, so the AdForm script needed you to paste something. But this Adobe flaw is like a burglar not even needing to trick you into opening the front door. The smart home system just decides to unlock the doors, turn off the alarms, and let them in.
Exactly. Arbitrary code execution means they can run whatever software they want directly on the core server.
And the collateral damage listed in the source rounds out the picture. Adobe also had to fix a CVSS 8.6 SQL injection flaw.
CVE-2026-48448.
Right, which allowed arbitrary file reads. Both of these were patched in ACC version 7.4.3, build 9398.
But wait, it doesn't stop there.
Oh, right. On top of that, they shipped updates for 8 critical flaws in Adobe Bridge, which involved privilege escalation and code execution.
And they credited researchers Kaixi and UJD5 for those.
So Adobe says these aren't currently being exploited in the wild, which is good.
It is good. But the big picture takeaway here is the sheer volume of critical updates required for major enterprise platforms.
It highlights how much remediation debt companies carry, right?
Yes. Remediation debt is the backlog of known security patches companies continually push down the road because they're moving too fast, especially in our AI-driven, rapidly scaling digital infrastructure.
So a 10.0 vulnerability sitting in a core platform isn't just a random bug.
No, it's a glaring symptom of that massive scaling pressure.
Okay, let's briefly recap this crazy journey through our sources today.
It's been quite the ride.
We traveled from a tiny macro typo in a physical hardware wallet that cost millions to a hijacked advertising script that basically gaslights your clipboard, and finally to a zero-click vulnerability in an enterprise marketing giant.
It's a sobering overview, and I want to leave you with a final thought to ponder based on the source material we reviewed.
Hit us.
There's a chilling timeline discrepancy from that very first cold cart story. The flaw, that tiny typo, was introduced in March 2021.
Right.
But the massive $70 million heist happened in July 2026.
Oh, wow. That means...
It means this catastrophic vulnerability sat silently in people's pockets, totally dormant, for over 5 years before it was triggered.
Over 5 years. That is insane.
It really raises a haunting question for you to mull over. As you update your software today, whether it's clearing your AdForm cache or updating Adobe, how many other five-year-old dormant bugs are silently ticking away right now?
Just waiting for their 41 minutes of fame.
Exactly.
I mean, that is definitely something that'll keep me up at night. There are no physical cables to inspect in this digital world, and we're all just hoping the engineers didn't leave a typo in the blueprints 5 years ago.
So true.
Well, thank you so much for joining this deep dive into our stack of sources. Stay safe out there on those invisible bridges, and we will see you on the next one.